This morning we're going to return back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, I think it is, on the subject of sanctification. This morning I'd like to take a little different route than I had before, and we will just begin reading in verse 28. For the sake of time, I commend you to the rest of the chapter. But it says, "And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord." Now, we have all that we could ever want just in those verses, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's a full, complete deal that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to, the point I want us to think about this morning, if you'll pray for us, it says, but of him, the him there, if we go back up to verse 28, is God the Father. But of God the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us all of these different things? But the point I want us to think about, and the subject that I want to think about this morning is of him, that's God the Father, are we in Christ Jesus? The phrase "in Christ" is the point that I want to try to speak about this morning, and consider where we are in Christ, how we got in Christ, and what's the result of us being in Christ, and what if we're not in Christ? Those are all things that some of us maybe have thought about from time to time, and I know that this subject is perhaps some familiar to some, but I want us to go to the book of Ephesians, first chapter, and I want us to think about the phrase "in Christ." It's a prepositional phrase, And we want to read just a few verses in here, and then if the Lord will bless us to speak about some of the things that we have in Christ. It says, "Grace," verse 2, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, there is, if we have a spiritual blessing this morning, it's in Christ. There is no spiritual blessings outside of him. We have natural blessings. We have our family. We have all these things. But over in the book of Timothy, it says, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There is good gifts. And I've said, I have a wonderful gift here, my beautiful wife, and you have gifts, natural gifts that God has given you, but there is some gifts that are perfect gifts. And you look at those, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, and redemption and righteousness, and all these things are good, perfect gifts that comes down from God. It's like the showers that come down. They come down sovereignly and upon us. Now it says, so we're talking about spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And when we come together, you know, the Lord has said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name," he said, "there I'm in the midst." So if the Lord is here, it's a heavenly place, isn't it? So we gather together and we enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy the preaching of the gospel, the messages, and the wonderful fellowship that we can have together, and the sharing of our love with each other. But it's a heavenly place if God is here. And now notice, it says that all these things are placed in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice, according as he has chosen us in him. The word "according" means, in harmony with, now it says, according as he has chosen us in him. We were chosen by God the Father to be in Christ. That's what this verse says. Well, according as he has chosen us in him. And he goes on, he says, when did he choose us? When were we chosen to be? And it says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Now, I want us to think about that word "holy." It's the same as saint. It's the same as sanctified. He could have said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be sanctified, that we should be. And he says that in the previous verses, we are chosen to be saints. He chose us to be saints. The word saint means somebody that has been made holy. And we're made holy, of course, when we're born of the Spirit of God, but we were set aside for a holy use. That's what God chose us for. And he says, according as he has chosen us in him, we were chosen in Christ before the world began. So if you are in him, you know, it says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. And when he talks about, he said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We can read all this whole chapter, and the only thing that we have to do with it, that we are the recipients of it. We receive these blessings in Christ by God the Father giving them to us. And the word predestinated, some people don't like that word, but it simply means that God, before the foundation of the world, prearranged our destiny. We are going to be with him in heaven. He chose us to be adopted. You think about that adoption. That's another subject all in itself. But adoption means it means the placing of a son. You're taking somebody out of one family and putting him in another family. We were in Adam. We're born in Adam. Every single one of us are in Adam. Now, every single one of us, if we were not adopted out of Adam's family and put in God's family, then we would remain in Adam's family, wouldn't we? That makes perfect sense. But God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, all of these things, it's speaking of the sovereignty of Almighty God. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It wasn't according to my will. It wasn't according to your will. It was according to God's will. And the word according to means in harmony with. In harmony with the will of God. And now notice verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. It's not to the praise of the glory of what we did. There's nothing. As I said, we are passive in all of these things. We didn't do anything to get into Christ. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now, is that so hard to accept? I mean, this is the word of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. There's no place in the scripture that I can find where God gave us a choice where we can choose him or accept him. We were made accepted in Christ. He accepted us. And because he accepted us and he gives us of his spirit, then we accept him after we have been accepted. You know, we say that the cause and effect. We love God. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. When did he love us? He loved us before the foundation. He loved us with an everlasting love. He sent his father, he sent his son. Remember John 3:16? Beautiful text. For God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, whosoever is believing in him should not perish. So he loved us with an everlasting love. And he chose us. Why did he do that? Because he loved us. And because he wanted to. He's God, and we're not. Now notice, and we get to one of our words that we had in 1 Corinthians. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We were totally unacceptable. We were totally without anything to make him. I mean, you think about, well, why would God love me? That's a very good question. Because there is nothing in you that would esteem him to do that. It was totally according to his will. And that's where we have to leave that. In whom we have redemption. We have redemption. The word redeemed means to purchase, to buy back. We have redemption. And what was the price? You know, it says we were not, in Peter, he says we were not redeemed. We were not redeemed from old times by in the times of our fathers by silver and gold. We were not purchased. God didn't buy us with silver and gold. You know, I've said you could go and you could get all of the gold in Fort Knox and bring it all and put it down right here in front of us and offer it to God, and it would not redeem one single soul. We were not redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish. And that's why he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And Brother Andy has spoken about this, and I've had it from time to time. You cannot separate the shedding of blood from death. If he sheds his blood, he dies. And so we say, well, he died for us. That he shed his blood for us, and he gave his life for us. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So he gave his life for us. He laid it down freely. And if we could just think about this for a moment. In whom, that's in Christ, outside of him, what do you have outside of him? We're going to get to that in a little bit. But outside of Christ, everybody that's in Christ, and you know it says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We love that, don't we? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Why? Because you have been redeemed. You've been purchased. You've been bought. And you have been justified. And all of these beautiful pictures of what God has done for us. And sometimes I think we just kind of nonchalantly think about this stuff. But these things, brothers and sisters, are where we should live every day and think about. And now notice it says, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Now, I've said this a couple of times when I've tried to speak on this. If we have forgiveness, this is an eternal forgiveness, by the way. It's in Christ. We have forgiveness of sins. If we have forgiveness of sins, why do we need to confess our sins? He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he says, if you say that you have not sinned, then you're deceived. You're a liar, it says in 1 John. So when we think about, we're sinners, but I want us to think about what we are in Christ. If we are in him, then our sins was laid upon him. According to Isaiah 53, it says he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He laid on Christ. And we're talking about from an eternal positional standpoint. We stand before God. And when he looks down from heaven, at one time he looked down from heaven, he said, there's none good, no, not one. They're all turned aside. They're all guilty. But now when he looks down upon us who have been redeemed, he sees white as snow. We sing that song. He hath washed me whiter than snow. So when we think about forgiveness of sins, that the word forgiveness, and if I have an offense against Brother Devin or one of these other brethren, I come and I say, Brother Devin, I ask your forgiveness. I know I offended you, and I ask you to forgive me. And Brother Devin says, I forgive you. Then from that standpoint, we are never, ever again to mention that. You know why? Because it's back here. And if I, and I ask this question sometimes, you say, well, I forgive you, but there is no buts about this. If you've been forgiven, this it's gone. It cannot be brought back up again. It's back here where we can't see it. It's removed. And so I asked the question, well, how would you like for God to forgive us like we forgive our brothers and sisters? Would you like that? You know, this is what part of that model prayer. It said, if you do not forgive your brother his trespasses, neither will I forgive you. Well, how does that enter into this text? We have the forgiveness of sins. Brethren, the forgiveness of sins and washed by his blood has, it's to do with our eternal life. We are without sin. But while we're here in this world, while we're in these human bodies, we have the flesh to contend with. And when we sin, we need to first confess it. He said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just forgive you all sins. But brethren, when Jesus died on the cross, he went to the grave, and he came out of the grave on the other side. What? He left something in the grave. He left our sins in the grave. And he came out and he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's why it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Now, wouldn't it be, you know, he could have done all this without telling us. You know, what we have is the good news. We have the message of the gospel. The gospel is the news. It's the message of salvation. But the message of salvation doesn't make you a child of God. The gospel doesn't say, it doesn't give life. It brings light. The message of the gospel, and that's why it's important that we understand the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. So the gospel is to you, the saved, to those who have been born again. And I want to switch gears a little bit now. I'm gonna go into an area that I can't ever remember specifically dealing with. You pray for me. But my question is, what if we're not in him? You know, do you believe? Now, I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that your name is written in the book of life? Do you? I mean, the scripture says that, there's four places in Revelation. I'm going to try to get those four places this morning. And there's a lot of data here that to go through. But when it says that our names were written in the book of life, when was it written there? Before the foundation of the world. I'm going to prove that by the word of God. And you can take it or leave it, but it's here. And now then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13. Okay. And in this particular place, there is a lot of symbology in this, but we're speaking here about a beast, I'm going to read 8 verses for you. And just stay along and try to look at the big picture here. Don't try to get down all the details of what this represents and all that represents. We want to see something in the big picture way. And he says, I stood upon, and this is John, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And now we're going to, chapter 17, we'll get that next, but it explains what some of this is, if you'll just be patient. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. Think about what a leopard is. Very vicious. A leopard. Each one of these things that he mentions here are carnivorous, devouring animals. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. And his feet was as the feet of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. There is the dragon and then the beast. The dragon gives the beast a power and authority. And we can find in many places and several different places that Satan has angels. He has followers. But the dragon is the devil. And when we look at this, the symbols here is whoever these are, now just stay with me, whoever they are worshiping the devil. Okay? They're worshiping the beast. Now, how many of us have ever heard the text that Satan is as a roaring lion? He's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Well, one of these aspects is here, he has the mouth of a lion. He wants to gobble up God's people. Verse 3. And I saw one of the heads as it was wounded to death, was deadly wound and was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Here is this beast. One of the heads had 7 heads. One of the heads was wounded and he was healed. By Satan, I think. But anyway, and now notice verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon. They're worshiping the devil. If you can just get that much out of this. They're worshiping the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. He's worshiping the devil, And the beast is gets his authority and power. And they worship the beast saying, who is like unto this beast? Who is able to make war against him? And if we look at Satan, and when we think about the devil, outside of Christ, we have no power against him at all. But we have overcome all that is here listed. Now notice in verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things of blasphemies. Blasphemy is anything that's against God. They worship the beast. They worship the devil. You think, well, Brother Allen, that's back then. No, it's still today. I can show you. You can just get on the internet. There is evil wickedness their devils are being worshiped out there. And witches and all kinds of things out there that is right here. Now I want you to notice these are here now, but I'm going to get to the point where they're not going to be here anymore. Okay. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth. Now notice, he opened his mouth. I can just imagine opening his mouth and this junk comes spewing out of it. He opened his mouth and blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, how many of us have heard of the Fox's Book of Martyrs? We can find in this chat, in some of these chapters, those that was beheaded for the witness of Christ. The martyrs that was given, and it was given unto the devil, this beast, to make war with the saints. Now notice verse 8, and I read all that to get to this. All that dwell upon the earth, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those that are not written in the book are the ones that worship the devil. And he has total control over them. He said he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And it says, all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You said, was Jesus slain before the foundation? It said in Revelation 5, he said he stood as a lamb slain. When God sends, he gave us to his son. That we just read that in Ephesians chapter 1. He gave us to him in Christ. We have all these things in Christ. We were given to him and he sent his son to die in our place. Everything that's against these people, Jesus bore for us in his place. In our place. I want us to see where we would be outside of Christ. We need to think about what we're saved from time to time. All right, now then, let's skip over to chapter 17. Moving right along. Now here we have it's called the great whore, in verse 5. But I want to read down to that. Now, if we read very closely, this woman that's in chapter 13 is riding on this beast. This woman here. This woman in chapter 17 is riding on the beast. I know we can have all kinds of imagination, but this woman is riding the beast of 13th chapter. Now notice, I just want to read a little bit for you. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And I don't need to explain that word. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Now notice what she's doing. I saw a woman upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blaspheming, having seven heads and ten horns. I don't know what all, I'm not I'll let you use your imagination on that. But he's going to tell us a little bit about this down here later. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now this is the, I look at this woman, this whore, as all of the religious, not the religious, but the human, culture that we have outside of Christ. That's all I want you to see in this. This woman is outside of Jesus Christ. It's outside of God. And they have absolutely, they despise, they hate everything that we do. They literally despise everything about us and about God. And this woman is emblematic of falsehood. Everything outside of God. Making war. Remember now, who's the enemy of this woman? It's you. It's the saints of God. It's the elect of God. And everything, they are at war against God. Now notice what it says. And I saw the woman drunken. Notice what she's drunk with. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. You see what she's devouring. She is a servant of that beast. She's riding him with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now think about how beautiful she is and all the things that, the eyes that, she, I mean, the things that, the beauty of all of these wonderful, and notice it says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Why did you think that was such a one? Why did you marvel at her? Well, because she looks pretty good. I mean, you can dress, you know, I've heard somebody say that, and you put lipstick on a pig. You can dress them up and make them look really good. But this woman is evil. Evil wickedness. Evil personified. Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. Okay, you want to know what she means? Here it is. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. Remember, she's the beast. She's riding the beast. The beast is carrying her. The beast which carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder whose. Now notice, this is the point I'm getting to. And all, it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written, the ones that upon this beast, the ones that are falling, the ones that are wondering, the ones that are amazed at this woman, it said, shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now then, that's two times we've seen the book of life. There, so you say, well, what is it? Well, we're going to get to that. But it is a book that those people, this is all you need to know about this right now, their names are not in it. You understand that? Their names are not in it. Now, I want to get just a little bit, a couple more verses in verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That should make you shout and happy to think about this. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords. There's all kinds of lords out here, but he is the Lord of all those. He is the Lord of lords, and there's all kinds of kings out here. But he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him, listen, they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Does that ring a bell? They that are with him are chosen. They are faithful. And they were chosen and they're faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the multitudes of people and the nations and tongues. Every nation out there. It's not one nation. It's all the evil in the world. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. They're going to turn on her, and they're going to devour. That's what they do. They devour one another. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Get that? God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. The heart of the king is in the hand of God. And he moves him wheresoever he will. When God gets tired of all this, he's going to do something about it. He says, and God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Evil, wickedness. It's in the world today. But we need to rejoice, brothers and sisters, to know that one day it's not going to be anymore. Now, I mean, we just keep going. The story just keeps getting better. chapter 19, I'll just read a little bit out of this. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto our Lord God. The beast has been destroyed. This is they're celebrating the destruction of this beast. And the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were, now listen, I heard as it were the voice of great multitude and the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thundering saying, what do they say? What are they saying? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know that's on the backside of Brother Bill McCarthy's tombstone. I say, Brother Bill, what do you know? He said, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we know that. We know that. And those people don't know it, Sister Judy. They think they're going to win. They think they're going to be overcome. They do not understand that their time is very short. Very short. Now then, I got about 10 more minutes. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Now, there's a lot here. I don't know where to even start. I'll start with verse 5. It says, the rest of the dead, and then you can go back and find out about the others. The rest of the dead lived again, not again, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death, all you need to know about this is if you have part in the first resurrection, the second death hath no power over you. No power. And we'll find out what the second death is just a minute. But it says the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I'm not going to get into that. There are several different views about the millennial reign. But the point here is this. If you have part in the first resurrection, what's the first resurrection? I don't know of any resurrection except when Jesus rose. When you look at who, and after Jesus arose, there's many of them came out of the graves with him. There is many of them, and I could take you over to one place. It says they are the first fruits of them that slept, 144,000. I'll give you that from my own standpoint, but there is 144,000 that was redeemed from the earth. These are the first fruits of those that slept. Now, when you think about these people that arose with Christ, he sat down at God's right hand. Every single one that was given to him by the Father, he has redeemed them, and he is sitting at God's right hand, every single one of them. If you are one of those, and your name is written, and you've been born of the Spirit of God, you have part in Christ's resurrection, and the second death hath no power over you. Know it. All right, now then, we're going to get to Okay, I need to get verse 9 and 10 before we get down to the rest of it. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came out from God and devoured them. You want that people talk about the battle of Armageddon. What is that? Oh, that's so mysterious. Well, it said, and you can read about it up here in these other verses. But the point here is this. When you're talking about the battle of Armageddon, they say, well, it's a big battle where the devil and the Lord's going to be, wrestling together and all this stuff. I want you to see what happens when they gather together. It says, when they gathered together, fire came down from God and from heaven and devoured them. There was no battle. There was no battle. God devoured them with just his mouth. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast, remember the beast and the false prophet and that whore over there, they're in the lake of fire. And it says, into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Where the beast and the false prophet are. They're in there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now then, we get to this great white throne. Here is, and we could look at that in Revelation, Matthew 25, where it said they'll gather all nations before him. He shall set his on the right hand and those on the left hand. He shall say to them on the right hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And to those on the right, he's going to say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice, I saw a great white throne. This is John. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven was fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now I want you to notice some very particular point. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, the books were opened, and another book. There is books, and then there's a single book. And the books were opened. I believe, brothers and sisters, that the books that's under consideration here are the books of the law, especially the law of Ten Commandments and all. And these people who is not written in the book is going to be judged according to their works. How would you like to be standing there? Would you like to say, Lord, give me my justice? Well, they're going to get justice. Exactly. What are they paying for? Sin. Sin. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened. And another book was opened, and which is, now notice what it is. What is this book? Which is, it doesn't leave you anything to doubt, Brother Tom. He said, this is the book of life. They were judged, these people are judged, the dead, small and great, they're judged out of the books. But there was another book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things was written in the books according to their works. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now notice this. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What's the second death? The lake of fire. Hell, and we can tell you about all these things in different places, but hell and the lake of fire are two different places. The false prophet and the beast and all these people up here, they're in hell. But it says here, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever, listen again, another point, whosoever was not found written, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, brethren, by the way, these points are written in our articles of faith. We are supposed to believe these things. It's hard sometimes. I haven't heard this preached on in a long time, and it took a lot of prayer for me to get to here. This is what we've been saved from. It says in Thessalonians, he says that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. There's a wrath coming, but we are not going to be there. Our names are written in the book of life. Okay, now we got one more to go. We got about 5 minutes. All right, now we're going to talk about the city. You know, after chapter 20, we hear no more. about the devil and the beast and all of these evil things because they don't exist anymore. Now, I don't know. Now, all of these things, by the way, is going to happen in God's time, not mine. We say, well, when is all, and we have all these people talking about, well, when this going to happen, this going to happen, what's going to be first? It doesn't matter. God knows. And it's all, it says, in a moment and twinkling of an eye. There's no time with us, so we don't have to worry about that. But notice, now I want to read about this city. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it, as it were, transparent glass. Did you know Abraham and all of those of the Old Testament, they were looking for this city whose foundation and maker is God. They were looking for this city. And I saw, now this is beautiful if you think about it. And I saw no temple therein, no houses of, no churches, no temples, no synagogues. I saw, there was no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither are the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of it. The Lamb. And the nations of them which are saved. Don't miss that. The nations of them which are saved, not them which are lost or which are in the lake of fire, but, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations. And there shall be in no wise, now listen, this is a point, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or anything that maketh a lie, but they which were written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. Now I want to read that verse again because that's this is the ones who are written. These others are not written. But what about those who are written? They're the ones that's going to walk in this city. This city belongs to us. This is where we're going. This earth is not our home. We're heading for that city and we're on a journey and we're all going to make it. Well, there's not one single one of you is going to be left behind. You know, there's a doctrine out there that says, if you don't do this and don't do that and so, you're going to be left behind. Perish the thought. There's not going to be any left behind. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. When? Before the foundation of the world. People say, well, when did you get your name in there? Well, I got my name in there when I did this and this and this, and I did all these different things. Yeah. Now, if you have to do something to get in it, you may have to do something to stay in it. You think God's got a racer up there racing your name? We find this, all these stories about St. Peter and all this stuff sitting at the gate and waiting there and you say, and all these things. Myths. There's none of God's children that Jesus died for that's not going to be in this city. All the things in the middle here. Did you know God knows the end from the beginning? That he knows everything that happened before the foundation of the world. He knows everything that's going on now. And he knows everything that's going to happen in the future. And the end of the thing is, and I love the end of this story. I probed Brother James Baker this morning. I said, Brother James, I read the end of the book and we win. We're going to be winners. We are overcomers because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 22, and it just keeps getting better. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun nor the Lord, for the Lord giveth light for the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. How long are we going to be there? Forever and ever. We're going to reign with him forever and ever. And he said, these sayings are faithful and true. These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God, holy prophet, sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which were shortly to be done. Anyway, these are the beautiful And I have a, I had a little, we sing this song sometimes. I can't lead it, but I want to, you know, sometimes just open this book and read the words of number 502. And I'm going to read them very quickly for you. There is a holy city, a happy world above, beyond the starry regions built by God, the God of love, an everlasting temple and saints arrayed in white. They serve their great Redeemer. They dwell with Him in light. It is no world of trouble. The God of peace is there. He wipes away their sorrows. He banishes all their care. Their joys are still increasing. Their songs are ever new. They praise the Eternal Father, the Son, and the Spirit too. Isn't that wonderful? The meanest child of glory. I mean, the one that you think was just as meaner than a snake. Outshines the radiant sun. When you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're just, you know, there's not going to be any little big U's and little I's and all that stuff. We're all going to be the same in heaven. Isn't that marvelous? The meanest child of God outshines the radiant sun, but who can speak of the splendor of the eternal throne where Jesus sits exalted in godlike majesty? The elders fall before him. The angels bend the knee. Is this the man of sorrows who stood at Pilate's bar, condemned by haughty Herod and by his men of war? He seems a mighty conqueror who spoiled the powers below and ransomed many captives from everlasting woe. The host of saints around him proclaim his wondrous grace. The patriarchs and the prophets and all the godly race who speak of fiery trials and torments on their way. They come from tribulation to everlasting day. Now with a holy transport, they tell their sufferings o'er, their tears and their temptations and all their pains they bear no more. They turn and bow to Jesus who gained their liberty. Amid the fieriest dangers, our lives are hid in thee. Brothers and sisters, this is the most marvelous, most glorious story. And you know why? You know why we love it? Because it speaks to our hearts. And we rejoice in these wonderful truths. And if we believe this message, that Satan can do nothing to harm us. There's nothing that, and death will be a release. We're going home to our city, to that great place that God has prepared for us.